I haven't been getting questions on my emails and writing in or letters coming in the mail asking about Passover and leavened bread this time, except, you know, can I get a table? So in other words, the people were pretty secure in Passover and leavened bread. There wasn't a lot of doubt and concern or questions. Do I do this? Do I do that? The questions coming in this time have been about the virus. Has it been about prophecy? Time, where are we? What's going on? Could it be this or is it that prophecy? So what I wanted to do today is I wanted to nail down a little bit more on where we're at. So I got a sermon today. And in this sermon, it's something I began just about a month or two ago. This is going to be called, it's a part one series. I don't know how long it's going to go, at least two, but it might go more than that. Because as I was working in the sermon, I keep adding stuff into it. And in the stuff I was adding, believe it or not, is going back into the timeline, pulling it out of the timeline. I'm going to tell you why when I go through that in just a few minutes. All right. So today I'm beginning a new series. It's called Lessons from Lincoln, Preparing for the Next Civil War. Because whether you realize it or not, you're at the beginning, and I believe the first shot has been fired for the next Civil War. And it isn't black and white. As people talk about the relations of people today, there's going to be another Civil War just like it was back then. No, it's not. It's not about North and South. The Civil War that we're about to go into is a spiritual Civil War between God and Satan. And it's the final battle as they line up to the time for the return of Jesus Christ. And that is what we'll be talking about today. Abraham Lincoln, what an amazing scholar this was. This was what began, and this to me was earth-shaking. Absolutely earth-shaking. This was a game-changer, as they would say. Is that this I found when I was working a couple months ago, and I'll tell you about that in a second, why I was looking for this. After being elected, this is Abraham Lincoln, he's already the president. After the Civil War had already begun, Lincoln spoke of a very dark cloud on the horizon. So when I was in the web, I was looking for a cloud on the horizon, because I remembered something from Abraham Lincoln. He had said that. And at that time, when I was working on this sermon, it was the very beginning of the coronavirus that was in a distance. Like it was on the horizon. It was over there. It wasn't as bothering us. It didn't affect where we were. So I was trying to find it. But this is what came up. I see a very dark cloud on the horizon. And that dark cloud is coming from Rome. Now, I actually thought I had tapped into somebody's sermon somewhere. But this is actually, literally, a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And I talked about that in A Cloud on the Horizon 2 months ago. So I'm going to go into it next time, not today. But I'm giving you the foundation of where I am today and why we're going into this, because this began to open the door. You ever study, and we've all been through this. I mean, everybody's the same. God works with us all equally, right? And so each one of us have a task or a job, a thing that we do that God's specifically given to you. Your job's not mine, my job's not yours. We understand that in the church. If this, like Paul said, we can't all be the head, we can't all be the foot, we can't all be the hands or the eyes. We all each have a specific job. But what God does is He opens a door, and it may be specifically for you. And in that door, as you crack open that door and you peek inside, you find more information that God has reserved as you go through that door. This was a door that's opened up a whole new world of insight and understanding that I think will help me to be able to teach this decade coming forward because of this. Because of this one sentence. So that's what I'm going to begin talking about and where I go from here. So now, with that said, let's pick up now some interesting facts where we are today. Then we're going to lay the foundation of where we're going in understanding the studies for this decade of the 20s. Moloch was set up in the Colosseum of Rome. This is not talking about 1,000 years ago or 2,000 years ago. We're talking about here and now, today, in Rome. This statue is set up at the Colosseum in Rome, where they took the Christians and they fed them to the lions and they burned them. Or the gladiators would kill them. Moloch is set up there as I speak today. The statue of Moloch, the pagan deity, the child of sacrifice, displayed at the Colosseum in Rome. This is really interesting. We actually reported on this in news, nuggets, and insights. Now, I want you to pay attention to what this says here. From now, the date of this article was from 11/11/2019. When did we begin hearing about the virus? Sometime at the end of December. The end of December, they had their hands full, and they were, so if it was at that point they had their hands full at the end of December in China, that means it had to be weeks before that it began. So here's an interesting parallel or correlation to what was going on there from this article to that time within less than a month and a half. From now to March 29, 2020, as part of an exhibit celebrating the city of Carthage, a giant statue of Moloch, the god of the ancient Canaanites, the Carthaginians, will greet visitors at the entrance to the Roman Colosseum. Wow. Now, why do we find this so interesting? Pay attention. This is what's going on. Moloch has the powers and the abilities. This is where people have, they believe in this pagan, not entity, but a deity, as they believed he was, had an insatiable hunger for human flesh. And I've been asking now for about a year, so what is this obsession with killing babies in the womb? We begin to get the connection here to ancient Israel. Remember what we've talked about. If God says you want to see what I'm going to do, go see what I did do. See the former, you see the latter, the physical, the spiritual. You begin to see all of this going on. Specifically sacrificing babies. And in ancient times, they had the giant statue of Moloch, and in the stomach, they'd actually have this fire pit, and they would throw live babies into this statue and burn them alive. As a god, Moloch possessed superhuman strength, durability, and then the immunity to aging and disease. Isn't that amazing that the very first state outside of China that had this huge amount of sickness was in Italy? Where's the Colosseum of Rome? In Italy. What was the problem with this deity there, supposed to be protected against aging and disease? Who is mostly affected in Italy? The aged with the disease. So, wow. And I'm looking at this and say, this is absolutely amazing. But it gets even more amazing as we continue to open up that door that I was telling you about. Right here. We see that what's happened with Italy and what happened and began over there. The virus resembles the way God affected Egypt and their gods. What God did, he would send the plague, which affected and resembled and put down one of their gods. So here we see in Rome, this statue that's supposed to protect the old against disease, and right at the statue and in that nation is the disease, just like it was in Egypt. Now, if we can't see these things and put them together as a church and understand, something bigger is going on than we imagined. This virus is the first time that it has the resemblance of God taking his protection away or even sending this disease, if that was God's doing. We don't know yet where it was. All we know is here. And it's not of God, but it could be by God allowing this to go forward. Well, we see this going on. All right, look what God tells us against pagan worship. Leviticus 18 says, "You shall not let any of your seed pass through the fire of Molech, and neither shall you profane the name of God. I am the Lord." In Leviticus 20, 1 through 6, and I'm not going to read all the verses, I just want to make it the point, and you can go back, look at Leviticus 20, 1 through 6, and go back and read those verses put together. He says, "And again, you shall say to the children of Israel, that whosoever he be of the children of Israel, or of the strangers that sojourn in Israel, that gives any of his seed to Molech, he shall surely be put to death." That's how God looked at this. And here we are, a nation, an Israelite nation, chosen and set apart by God, agreeing and approving abortion by the millions. Very much like they did by feeding Molech. And I have to wonder, you may be ahead of me here, I wonder if that is the same spirit that is pushing that pushed it with Molech and the children of Israel. Because each spirit has its power, its control, and its position. We see that from Daniel. We see that through the prophets. So you have to wonder if God has not pulled his protection away from back in the 1960s and 70s because we chose to put him aside and allow abortion to become a curse in the land. He says, he that gives any of his seed to Molech, he shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. So it's interesting as we watch this, that here's this statue now that has been moved and put in the Colosseum of Rome. At the entrance, you can't miss it if you go in or come out. And it was to be there until March 29th. But now we're in April. And because of the virus, it can't be removed. It's still there. It's still there at the Colosseum in Rome. Verse 4, and if the people of the land do in any ways hide their eyes from the man when he gives the seed to Molech, kill him, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family. Here's what God's saying. If you see somebody doing this and you don't stop him and you don't kill that man, God says, I'm coming after you and your family. Now, we need to think about this strong. But people don't want to say anything or ruffle the feathers or make waves. That we're living in a land that God said, if we turn a blind eye. You ever see a policeman who don't want to get involved in a speeding ticket or a wreck or something like that, who just do this and just drive by like he never seen it? I've seen that before. You know? So here God's saying, if you do this, God says, I'm coming after you. In other words, if you can't stop it, you are a participator in it. You allow it to be. And I will cut him off and all that go whoring after him to commit whoredom with Molech from among the people. Now this is serious charges by God. And we're looking at that happening right before us in our very eyes. Now look in Ezekiel. Ezekiel 23 verses 37. For they have committed adultery and the blood is on their hands. They have committed adultery with their idols. They have even sacrificed their children whom they bore to me as food for the idols. And I watch people feeding on this frenzy of killing babies, even in the middle of the virus pandemic that we're going through, trying to pull in billions of dollars to keep the feeding of the abortion going on during the middle of this crisis. And I sit back and I say, what is it with these people that have this obsession? I don't think it's just an obsession. I think it's a demon. I think it's the same demon that controlled Molech and the children against the children of Israel in the times past that's here today in our society to kill the babies. And they control the mindset because there's nothing logical about a woman who's carrying a child saying, run around bragging, I just killed my baby. Isn't that great? And wear a sign on her shirt saying how wonderful that is. I don't understand that. I mean, what happens to a person's mind that gets to that stage? It's unbelievable. And God says, I'm going to set it straight. He says, there's coming a time he's going to stop it when he can put it up with it no longer. During this time, God separates his elect and protects. All right? Look what God says here in Proverbs. The wicked flee, though no one pursues, but the righteous is bold as a lion. So here we are today. I'm out every now and then, and Audrey has to go out from time to time. And I was out doing a job yesterday. I got a call from a person. I said, listen, they asked, are we working? I said, we will, but we don't go in buildings where they have people. If there's anybody there in an apartment or whatever, I said, you got to get them to leave, and then I'll come in and I'll do what you need done. Well, they had an emergency, and they had a water extract. And so they said, well, we'll make sure nobody's there. So I went in, and sure enough, I'm in there, and I turn around, and there's a lady standing right behind me. She came in when nobody was looking. But I believe God had given me the protection. So I'm in there, I'm getting the water out. And I'm kind of glad I went because it was an elderly lady. And she had been walking around outside and she just came back in. And so the interesting thing was I'm out there doing this, right? So I go to the office and I'm ringing the bell. And I know they're in there. They won't come out so I can give them a bill. You know, I'd like to collect sooner or later. And so finally she comes out and she's going through the door. Well, we can't come out. You can't come in. We're trying to be safe. And I'm thinking like, well, you just call me out here to go clean this apartment. Can't you even come to the door to get the bill? But no, they're afraid. Absolutely afraid. I said, well, I'll just slip it through the door. Just give me a little crack. I'll just slip it through the door. So she comes real close and she takes it like that. I said, wow. But here we are. Watch the people when they're out there on the street. They flee when no one's chasing them. I said, wow, this is amazing what's going on. That's Proverbs 28:1. Look at this one, Daniel 11. It says, and at that time of the end, and this gives us the indication we're getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ. And at the return of the end, there'll come a struggle for power and supremacy. And one will have control over the treasuries of the world. That's what's coming. So you're beginning to see all the shifts and all the alignments going on right now. But tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. I picked up inside of the middle of the conversation here. So you need to go back to Daniel 11. This is about the king in the north and the king in the south, because I just want to bring out what I need. Therefore he shall go forth with great fury to destroy, to utterly make away many. But glad tidings, now verse 44 says, but tidings out of the east and out of the north shall trouble him. So when we look at this virus, in the middle of what was going on between battle and Rome and everything being coming up, what happened? Trouble come out of the east. Now we sometimes think that's an army, but what if it's not just an army? What if we're not looking at what God's going to bring later? Because by the time you look at the fourth seal, 25% of the planet's destroyed. That's just the fourth seal. And you have a long way to go. Anybody feeling stressed out? Brethren, you need to get a grip to yourself, because if we're going to be alive at the return of Jesus Christ, and he comes in our lifetime, at the end of this decade, possibly, I don't know. But if he does, that means you've got a long way to go. A long way to go. God talks about the wearing out of the saints. And you can begin to feel it, and you begin to see it, what's going on. So to prepare for us for that time, God's given us three specific insights I want to begin to share with you today. Three specific insights. The first is structure. If you look at a building, and you look at the building, you see the structure, right? You can see what the building looks like. It's got the windows, it's got doors, it's maybe one story, two story, 10 stories, whatever. Inside the structure, there's something else, right? In the building, in the structure is God's plan for salvation when you look at Scripture. Right? That's your structure. So what's God's structure? You'll see it in his plan of salvation. Inside the structure, there's a framework on which things are built. Events that will happen to any given point of time in that structure. And I'm going to give you some examples of what I'm talking about in just a second, right? So now you got the structure, God's plan. That's the structure. The framework, that's the thing that builds it. You take everything off the outside, what do you got? You got a framework. That's what you begin to build on. That's what God does, is he's got framework. Throughout the time of the past 6,000 years, if you go through the Bible, each one of the sections in the Bible is a framework. And if you go to that one little section, you can blow it up, and there's what happened there. We've seen stuff like that happen. Then there's the time for preparation. I believe what God's been giving us for the last 7 years is the framework. We've known the structure. The church has always had the structure. What we didn't have is the framework for the time we lived in today. That's what I believe is in this, is the framework that brings us toward the time of prophetic fulfillment. All right? So now, bear with me now, because I'm not saying I know what's going on. I don't. And I'll show you why what I'm talking about. The preparation is the knowledge needed to function within the structure and the framework at any given point in time. It's called counting the cost. You went through counting the cost when you got baptized. But there's another counting the cost, and that's for the end time generation. So now, let me show you what I mean with this. So stay with me here, because this is important. This today is building the framework for the series that I'm working on. But if we understand where we are today, you'll see how it all fits into the plan of God. All right, so one, there's the structure. The structure for God's plan is the 7,000 years plan for mankind. All right, so there we go. And it's interesting, my whole life, every time I try to figure out something, I always find myself putting a timeline down. I just always did. That made it easier for me to understand what was going on. If I could do this, then it made sense, or it didn't make sense. So if in my mind I'm working on something, and I can't fit it in the timeline, then maybe I'm not thinking correctly. And I found that happened quite often. Because I can't change the structure. That's the plan of God. That's 7,000 years. History tells me where I'm at in that structure, but it doesn't give me the specifics in the middle of it. All right, so if we did this, and I went through God's structure, and I was studying where we are today and where we're at, and I stopped at 1917. If I stopped at 1917, and then I want to look at the structure that God had at that time, I go back into and I find where God was working at that time. So I find myself, I went back into this, the day of the Lord. And it gives us the history of what's going on. So when people call me today and they ask me, Tom, what do you think about this? And I'll tell them, I said, you really don't want to know what I think. You want to know what God thinks. So what do? I do like Christ does, and like Jesus gave us the example and told us to do. I want to make sure I say that right so I didn't put us in a different position here. It's what God says. Do what he told us to do. You go to the scripture. And I'll show you the scriptures, what Jesus said. So at any given time, I can move my arrow up and down. I can look at history. I can look at the Bible. This is what's happening there. That's the framework within the structure of the time. Okay, that's what we've been doing now for the last 7 years, building the framework of the last 100 years until 2030. That's what we've been working on. And you got over 60 hours of information there. That's why it's important that you go back from the beginning. And I've had people, everyone who does that, they come to me and says, you know, I got so much more this time out of it. And that's because it was so new to you the first time. It didn't sink in. And I'm not one who spends a lot of time dragging stuff out. I like to go through and put as much as I can put in there and go back and research. I got a call from one guy one night. He says, Tom, I was watching it. He said it was 3:00 in the morning. I had to put it aside. I was burnt out. He was binging on the series. No, just take your time. You got time? Just take your time. Make notes. Go into the Bible. Prove out the scriptures. But you need to lock this stuff in your mind so that when somebody comes along and says, this is where you're in prophecy, if it isn't fit in the framework or the timeline, you go, wait a minute, maybe you got a wrong interpretation. I'm going to show you how we'll go into that. So now, the preparation. When we got into this period of time, the 20s, I began in January with the 2020, the coming decade of change. Now, why would I say that? Because I had the framework. And in the structure, it was telling me, according to prophecy, 2,000 years after Christ was crucified, he's coming back. So I know, according to God's plan, then that puts me right where I need to be at 2030, 31. I don't have to make it up. I don't have to give you an interpretation. God's already done it. So people sometimes say, when do you think Christ is coming back? It's not when I think he's coming back. It's when Jesus said he's coming back. He says he's coming back after 2 days, and the third day we're going to dwell in his face. That's 20, 30, 31. That's not Tom. You know how safe that is? Now, it doesn't mean he's going to do it at exact time, because he also says they can cut time short and extend time. But that is the structure. So and then it goes into the framework. So now, by February, at the end of January, another sermon came out. It's like, okay, this one's saying, listen, we're going to have to learn how to live within these next 10 years. Because we were going from the most peaceful, excited, richest time in modern day history of America, right? But on the horizon, there was a virus coming. And Daniel says, out of the east. There was trouble out of the east. And it was on its way. So we began writing about that. So you see how God's leading our church to understand what's going on here. So then, by the next month, it began to be obvious. Italy was getting hit. And it was beginning to have a real problem what was beginning to take place. So now you have 2020, we have to learn how we're going to live within this period. By February, God is showing this is going to begin, and this is a type of what's coming down the road. So get ready. It was a time of a wake-up for God's church. And now, here, we know where it's coming from. It's not just a virus. It's a spiritual battle that we're fighting. And we see that. That's in Rome at the Colosseum. We see them bringing in pagan gods. We also, by the way, they have them in New York. In what's that square? The park? Can't think of the name of that park. Central Park. They got some kind of pagan thing there in Central Park they've set up there. So there you have, just in the first 3 months of the first decade here, before the return of Jesus Christ. Counting the cost. So now, When we go into this, we remember when you went back when you were being baptized, you have to be prepared to be baptized. You have to count the cost. You're going to go all the way. Same way it's going to be for the end time generation. They are also going to have to count the cost. Here's the cost, what God says. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. We're the end time generation. God says the end last will be first. That means more is going to be put on your shoulders and your responsibility than we ever dreamed. That means God's going to show us through this period before the return of Jesus Christ what we're going to have to prepare for. So in this preparation where we're going through now, how well are you doing? And I've asked, what if it goes 3.5 years? Well, it'll wreck this world if it went 3.5 years now. But the time's coming. It's going to wreck this world. So you're going to have to get yourself ready for what's coming. That means you're in spiritual training for the battle that's just begun. Because God says, to whom much is given, much is required. That means you have to count the cost. You're getting a little taste of what's coming. And this is just the beginning. We going through this, we have utilities. We have water. We still have food. They're still bringing food into the grocery stores. We haven't gotten to where people are ravaging neighborhoods because they're hungry. And there's an evil coming that we have not imagined yet around this world. Amos 3 says, surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to his servants. What's God telling us? Pay attention. He's been telling us. We put together 7 years of information. Now he's beginning to tell us how we have to prepare mentally to live within the framework of the structure. See, everything that we did before for the 7 years and all this information, you know what that was all about? It was knowledge. It was information. It was historical documentation. It was a written record of what was going on to bring us to this stage. Now where God's taking us, I believe at this time, at least I feel it inside of me, how do we prepare the people now to prepare for this? That's what we have to work on now. Because people are emotional. You know, there's going to be people losing lives, family members. They're going to begin to feel an abandoned, like even in the prayer request. The one young lady who says, I know she's not abandoned, but you feel that way but when you're not around family. So a question is, how will you know? How will you know what? How will you know this? Who does trust to tell you the truth? How do you know who's telling you the truth? All right? Because there's going to be a lot of false prophets, God says. Look at Matthew 24. Many false prophets are going to arise and deceive many. There'll be false teachers. There'll be false prophets. Matthew 7. Beware of the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You see that going on right now. People just tend to take advantage of everybody. Even in the field of religion, there's many con artists that are out there, you know, trying to get money out of people during the middle of this pandemic. There shall rise false Christs, false prophets. They're going to show great signs and wonders, insomuch that it's possible that they shall deceive even the very elect. That means you're going to have to keep your nose to the grindstone. So why do we have all this information for 7 years? So that you can go back to the Bible. You don't go back to any organization, any person, any individual. Every one of these sermons put you in the Bible. We have not prophesied one single event. Believe it or not, we haven't. We give interpretations. This could be happening. That could be happening. But everybody does that. And you keep your mind open to see, does it fit next? Will it fit here? Will it fit there? And fortunately, God's blessed us to be in every case so far. We've been, you know, right on target with where we're at. But primarily because we haven't prophesied what's coming. No? 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 8 through 10. And when the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him who is coming after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. That means the evil is going to be unleashed with incredible power that's going to deceive many people. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That means you're not going to be allowed to compromise. That means God's going to test you. You're going to go through things in your life that you don't know why you're going through them. Go back to the Bible. This is why. Because God has to prepare us for what's coming. You ever see a child growing up and he's spoiled? And he finally doesn't get his way? Or he goes through a trial for the first time? And they kick and fight and scream and holler and cry. Well, that's the way we are as grown-ups, but we only do it differently. So God's going to go through this testing and trial for his elect. So we have to have a love of the truth. So look what Christ says when he was tempted by Satan. Jesus gives us the key to where we rely our trust, especially in difficult times. It is written. You always go back to the Bible. Yeah, but Joe and so told me this, and I heard him preach that, but they used to teach this, and believe it or not, a lot of people still do today. Well, Mr. Armstrong said this. And you know, for the most part, Mr. Armstrong, Mr. Herbert, he was right in most stuff, but he wasn't right on everything. I'll just give you one. Did anybody ever, who's in worldwide, did you ever hear him say that he's going to be alive when Christ returns? Well, is he right? He was right for what God gave him to understand at the time. Same way with going to Ted. Same with the Apostle Paul and Peter. I don't have any problem with that because they lived within the structure of the framework at the time God gave them. And it looked like it could happen at any given point in time. That's a merciful thing that God does. Because if you went through what you had to go through and think, well, Christ ain't coming back for 2,000 more years, it's kind of depressing. But if you think he's coming in your lifetime, you're going to be on fire to want to stay with him. I think he's going to happen in that time. Because we got the prophecy of Hosea 6, 1 and 2. After 2 years, I'm coming back. We're there. We're just 10 years away from that. The other one that comes to my mind all the time is this. What do the scriptures say? So when I get calls today, I ask people, so what does the scripture say? Somebody asked me today, just right before church, to say, well, what's the percentage they have to tell them from wine? I said, well, what does the scripture say? And he looked me kind of funny and grinned. It don't tell you, does it? It doesn't say. That's an amazing thing, how we make up all our religions and we said we lock ourselves down on things that has nothing to do in the Bible. Just a thought. But I do that all the time. I try to get away from that. The scriptural framework for the timeline. When working on God's timeline, there are some important biblical basics and specific insights to understanding that we must adhere to. And I've used these before, but so if you're new to this, I'm going to go through them kind of quickly. But you need to use this for understanding the timeline, right? In nearly every end-time event of importance, and you can write this down, nearly every end-time event of importance, God has already given us an example to examine. Do you know that? It's there. Of end-time of importance, we're talking specifically with God's plan. Watch. From the beginning, the end from the beginning. That's what God says. So if he's telling us the end from the beginning, it's already got to happen at some point, right? Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning. That's what God says. From the ancient of times, things that are not yet done, my counsel shall stand, and I will do my pleasure. So God has told us, according to his holy word, he's already told us what's going to happen from the beginning. So it's already there. It's already there. Look at Genesis 1:14. Now, this is an amazing thing that the church never understood at the time back in 40, 30, 50, 60 years ago. Is the signs in the heavens. If God told us from the beginning, what is left from the beginning of creation that you and I can look at? The signs in the heavens. But we had a misunderstanding of how that applied, thinking everything about that was pagan. But it's not. And if you go through the beginning of these series, you'll see, as we lay this out, and there's one we have, I think it's, can't even remember the name of it right now, it's the prophetic alignment of the stars. Prophetic alignment of the stars. Tells you about how come and why and how we got that wrong. We didn't change anything. They just didn't have it right. What did the scripture say? Isaiah 41:22 says, let them bring forth and show us what shall happen. Let them show the former things what they be, that we may consider them to know the latter end of them, and declaring us things to come. 1 Corinthians, there's the heavenly and there's the earthly. God gives us the earthly to understand the heavenly. He gives us the former to understand the latter. He gives us the physical to understand the spiritual. There's a physical and there's a spiritual. Paul wrote about that in 1 Corinthians 15. In all of your timelines, when you put it down on paperwork, you will find, if it's prophetic, you will find the former physical and the latter spiritual. I'll tell you something else we're finding. You will find an Old Testament example and a modern day example of times we lived in from 1917 to today. The events double, the physical, the former, and the latter. It's an amazing story that we put together through that God's blessed us to be able to understand. Understanding the timeline, this is what I've been referring to. It's on the white website. The timeline is built on scriptures and historical documentation. So you really need to get yourself sunk into understanding this as a Bible study. This is just a guideline, as a study to put you into the Bible so that when false prophets do come, you will not be deceived. Why? Because you will be in the Bible. So when someone says something to you, a scripture will pop into your head. What helps me to understand is because we've been blessed, I've been blessed being called from a younger age at 18, 19, 20 years old. So when you see something, God brings to remembrance. He doesn't just do it for me. He does it with all of us. God says, don't worry. He says, I will bring to remembrance these things. So when you see something, and I'm blessed to be able to look at events, and God will help me understand, a scripture will pop into my head that just showed me what's going on. And then I was able to apply it to the event and the timeline we have, put it back and go back to the timeline and lay it all out. Only because God brought it to remembrance. But if you don't study, He can't bring to remembrance what you don't have. So if you're out of work, you have nothing to do, you're going stir crazy, put your nose in the Bible. Put your nose in the Bible. The timeline doesn't change. That's the other amazing thing. I can use the same timeline. It never changes because that's the structure. What changes is the period of the framework I'm working in. But the structure never changes. So my timeline's always the same. It just depends on where I'm working at inside the structure. So here's the caution. Trying to anticipate how things will happen. And most of the time when we try to anticipate how things will happen, they never do. They just never do. God's got His own way of doing things that we just never thought about. Or giving personal interpretations for the future as fact. That's a real problem people in the church want to do. They read a scripture. There's got to be that way. There's no doubt. I said, well, yeah, there is. There's a lot of doubt. But putting your own personal interpretations could be a real problem. So you want to let God do that. Let God give you the interpretations of the understanding of what's going on. What did the scripture say? Look at Joshua. Now, this is really important. By the way, I'm going to come back and on this scripture, I want these three verses. Three, four, five. Yeah, three verses. I want to do a whole sermon on these three verses. They're powerful. Look what Joshua says. This is to get ready to go into the promised land. They commanded the people saying, see, when you see the ark of the covenant, your God, the Lord your God and the priests and Levites bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. When God has called you and you begin to understand the scriptures, God has just showed you the ark. And when you're in that Bible, where you go through, and you're flipping through the pages and you follow where God's taking you to. That is your communication line to God through your prayer. And He leads you. Don't go anywhere without Him. Why? Because He tells us right here. Let there be a little space between you and it. So when you're leaning and you're learning and you're studying, you're meditating, let some time pass. Let it soak in. Go back to the scripture. Look for that ark again. Find the scriptures. That you may, because you may know the way to go, because you have not gone this way before. Where we're going between now and the return of Jesus Christ, we've never been this way before. That means we're going to have to follow God's lead. That means I can't put a personal interpretation on something that I don't know if it's a fact, because it may not take us where God wants us to be. And if I'm following a misinterpretation, I become a false prophet. So we have to wait and let God show us what's going on. We know where we're going to get to, but we don't know the path to get there. When the children came out of Egypt, if God would say, look, I want you to go to the mount, well, they took the straight path, they'd have gone right to the mount. But God took them a long way around. So even them coming out, if they didn't follow God, they'd have been lost. They'd have been consumed. And Joshua said to the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So when you read this and God's called you and you feel it and that fire lights up inside of you and you're letting God take you where He wants you to take you, let that Spirit which guides each and every one of us, and He guides you just like He guides me. You need to set yourself apart. You need to take your mind and say, Father, I will sanctify through Your Holy Spirit. Put me aside. And this year you have an incredible opportunity. This is not an opportunity that's a problem. This is a wonderful opportunity. We can't meet together. So you're going to meet together for the first time in modern ages, just like the children of Israel did at the very first Passover. And God's separating His people. And I have gotten but one report of one person, didn't even show a lot of signs, who had got this virus in all of the churches so far. That means God has done a miracle in the work of the minds and the heart of the people right now. And you will lean on this as you go forward, because God has separated His people just like you're in Goshen. As He's telling you, you obey the laws of the land, but you obey Me first. So when you're home and you take the Passover that night, and when that death virus passes over you, you have the blood of Jesus Christ as you renew your covenant with Him. And you don't have to walk in fear. You walk into safety and you head your whole high and know that God has sanctified you, because you have sanctified yourself to be cleansed by Him. What a powerful time we have. We're living today. And we're beginning the last stage of God's plan. And how we can begin today? Just like He began with the Egyptians in Israel at that time. He separated the children of Israel. And He's separating you and I from the rest of this world. And while everybody goes to the store and they hoard the bread, we're at our homes getting rid of bread. We are. We're getting rid of bread, aren't you? Trying to eat it up in your house. Every time before Passover, I put on weight trying to get rid of my bread. I just throw stuff out. What an incredible time we live in. This is the time we lift our heads high and hold our hands up. Because this is a powerful time we're in today. What a time. So when you get to Passover that night, and you go back and you look at the Scriptures, you can thank God as, wow, I have God's protection. I have His truth. I have His blood inside of me. It's on my doorpost. It's on my lintels. I am the temple of God. And Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit is with me. What a wonderful time we live in today. Yeah, it's going to be a bad time for the rest of the world. And it's going to get a lot worse. So you need to strengthen and buckle up and get ready. And learn, as we've been saying for years now, to do without. But be prepared. Be prepared. I always suggest everybody, we talk more and more about this in News and Nuggets. Whatever you're going through right now, you say, I wish I'd have got more of this, I wish I got more of that. Begin making a list. Record it. I need an extra toothpaste, I don't have any. I need this, I need that. Who would have thought you'd had to store up toilet paper? Who would have thunk that? Well, we know now. I have toilet paper. Can't go without toilet paper. The Sears and Roebuck catalogs are gone. You can't use that no more. All the older people are laughing with that one. All right, going on. So now, with all that said, let's take a look at a timeline right quick. All right, timeline for the appointed time. Jesus Christ was crucified 31 A.D. According to the Scripture in Hosea, He says He has torn us. He will heal us. After 2 days, He will revive us. And the third day, He will raise us up. So we have 2,000 years, brings us to 2031. So we did this in News and Nuggets. Let's work it backwards. Something real simple here. What is an example from the Old Testament? God gave him 7 years of lean, 7 years of plenty. So He gave him time to prepare. That's what God's given us right now. So if we went back 14 years from the timeline as we understand according to Hosea, puts us about 2017. I don't have to make up. That's just pure math, right? That's just pure math. 7 years of plenty, 7 years of lean. Same example, former, latter, as we have in the Old Testament to today. What happened in 2017? You go back and look at the stars, the alignment of the stars. Did I make that up? No, that happened. That event literally happened in September 2017. I didn't make it up. We didn't know exactly what it meant, but it sure looked like it was Revelation 12. Now, when you go back and you look at it now, it's more significant because now we've gone further and we've seen certain things happen there. It follows something else. It's called blood moon tetrads. Now, we did a lot on blood moon tetrads. That's in here too, by the way. Everything from 2013, 14, and 15 is right here at the very beginning. Between the first blood moon tetrad and 2017, 3.5 years. Very representative of the first 3.5 years of Christ's ministry. Now, brings us to 2020, where we are today. Now we've moved into the last decade. All of this has to happen before Christ returns. If Christ comes back in 31 A.D. or about that period of time, all of this has to take place. You realize how much is there? Look at what we're going through now and just having to stay inside and struggle through sheltered in. Can you see how stressful things are going to get? I think this has finally got the attention of the church. We talked about the Misky moment. And the Misky moment is when you're just away from a period that you are sufficient to exist financially. In May 15, 2019, according to the U.S. Treasury Department, the Office of Debt Management, the U.S. government is just 5 years away from the point where every new dollar it borrows from the public will go toward funding interest payments on the national debt. Every single dollar. That means we can never pay down the debt. That's it. It's over. And it will only get worse from that time. That was last year. Look where we are today. Have you heard about the trillions of dollars we're having to kick start? So now, coronavirus just set us into a whole new world. It has also moved the Misky moment much closer. COVID-19 has changed everything. Before it's over, we're literally adding trillions and move the timeline ahead. We are there today. Now, why did I do this? Look, I brought it to this point here where the Pope is talking about re-educating. So you see in the beginning of this battle going on right now, right? The beginning, the post beginning to line up, rise of the beast, all these things are lining up according to this timeline. We didn't make that up either. This is all historical documentation. Everything I'm giving you is documented history in Bible. No interpretation. Until we get to some areas that say, well, what does that mean? Well, we don't know. But look at here. I moved it to 2022, moving it up about 2 years. Now, I did that only for one reason. We just added $2 trillion. We've been running $1 trillion debt every year. We just threw in an extra $2 trillion, so I moved it up 2 years. Brings us to 2022. Now, what does that mean? Again, let's go back to the structure, see what we're looking at. Cutting time short, God says. God tells us in Matthew 24, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. All right, so we know we just moved the Misky moment up. That means this is actually, if you were going back and studying Israel, the reestablishment of Israel, again, in a series, you will see that there's three phases that Israel went into captivity. They come out of captivity the same way. The middle phase, or the beginning phase, is the money. Second phase is the government control. So when the left gets in, the next time the left gets in, you will see themselves beginning to gradually turn over to a UN-sanctioned control. You will see it happen, which is the second phase. The third phase is everything's removed away. So you're looking at the beginning phase of the first removal of the freedom of Israel. That's what this represents spiritually. That's not an interpretation. That will be a fact and you will see it. Because we have the historical documentation of how. So now, what does that mean? If you've been studying with us, you know that we have just moved into what is called a Shemitah timeline. The Shemitah timeline is the 7 years, the land rest. And through the history of mankind, you'll see the history taking place of what's called the Shemitah years. Jonathan Cahn has brought it out recently, since 2014, 2015, how important these timelines were. So now, let's take a look at this. The Shemitah years. Now, we got 7 years of lean, 7 years of plenty. So we went back to this timeline again. We have here what's called the blood moon tetrad. This is a time of warning for Israel. It just so happens that 2015 now brings us to 2022. So if God was cutting time short, there's still a framework within the structure that God's working on. Again, I didn't make these things up. I didn't put these timelines by myself. They're there. They're historical. So now, 2015, a lot happened in America in 2015. The Pope was here on the Day of Atonement. They made alignments with the enemies of Israel, the Pope did. We had the law that we changed from regular marriage between a man and a woman to gay marriage. I mean, there's a lot we went through. That's in the series. That's a Shemitah year. It's a time of raising of power and removing of power. The next Shemitah year, that's right, 2022. Will we have another disaster then? I don't know. We had it in 2001, 2008. Both of those were horrible times for America. They were warnings of what was coming. Where's the next one? 2029. Just about 3 and 3.5 years before the predicted time of Jesus Christ. Now, again, you can't make this up. It's there. It's in history. All we're doing is laying it out. Will God do it this way? You have to give an interpretation. I don't know. And I tell you that a lot when I do that. I just don't know. But what it does, though, is it puts it on the radar to watch for. And that's what you want to do. You want to prepare. You don't want to lock yourself into something that you don't know yet. You wait and see what God shows you. But at least you're looking for it. So now, if we went back into earlier times, the Bible with New Beginnings, this is the Blood Moon Tetrads in the movie that we had. There's 2014, 2015. Believe it or not, that was the 8th blood moon since Jesus Christ. So now, let's take a look at the Shemitah. All right, 2015 was a Shemitah year, all right, and it was also a possible jubilee. If it is or not, I don't really know if it was a real jubilee or not. But look here, in 1917, Israel was granted the rights to return to the land of Israel. All right? Jerusalem, the land, it was held by a foreign nation. After 400 years, God prophesied it would happen, and it did on the very day God prophesied in the Old Testament. We covered that here. 67, Israel takes control of Jerusalem. You couldn't do that without, and the prophecy be fulfilled. It says, when you see armies surrounding Jerusalem. So it was prophesied that that would take place. 50 years brings us to 2015, 2016, and the blood moon at that particular time. Looking forward, we didn't know what was going to happen. We thought nothing happened, but a lot happened. But it happened spiritually. It appeared that God had just finally washed his hands of this nation. But it looks like he gave us one more shot. Changes of administration. The fighting of the abortion. The fighting of the gay rights. This internal civil war that's going on between good and evil. Between right and wrong. Is right in front of our very eyes and very, very gone. We looked at 1973 and the beginning of the approval of abortion. The Shemitah tied to crises. We learned here. Look at 2001. It was the first Shemitah of the year. 2008, the second Shemitah. And according to what God says in the warnings in Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28, he says, if you don't repent yet, I'm going to bring seven times more. So by here, 2008, we had one of the biggest declines of economics we've seen in our modern times. Third Shemitah was 2015. They were waiting for an economic collapse. We had a spiritual collapse. We didn't know it at the time because we were looking physical. We didn't look at spiritual. You go back and you look at 2015 now and the sermons we gave there, and you see what God showed us. It was an absolute catastrophe for this nation. And we didn't even know it. We're too stupid to realize what was going on. So there you have three, and we just showed you three more. 15, 22, and 29. By 2022, it's possible to begin to see the absolute collapse of this world coming as the things get worse and worse as we go. Understanding the timeline of the day of the Lord. God gives us warnings in two phases for two different peoples, those called and those that are not called. First, the church, his elect, then the rest of the world. We are in the time of the warning and the waking up of his church right now. God's warning comes in two phases. Look at 1 Peter 4:17. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it began at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? I'll tell you, I struggled for the last several years of saying, how do we get the church to get on fire again, to warn what was going on? Because the warning comes that the church is asleep. You know the better than I did. And I felt like an utter failure. But the point was, it wasn't for me to do that. God says, I will do it. God says, it's not by power or might. It's almost like, you just go record what you got, and I will take care of what needs to be taken care of. So when I realized that this virus has done what no human being on this earth could do, it's woke up this entire world. And what will it do with what it's done? They still think government is as God, and God is going to save them, their government, from this world and its catastrophe. And it may get them through this crisis. But it's going to leave them so weak and so sick that the next one may come and just cut its legs off and begin to collapse. And that beginning of the collapse could happen as early as 2022, the next Shemitah year. Why am I telling you all of this? Because now's the time to get ready. So when it happens, you're prepared mentally to know what you're about to go through, so you can trust God. Lessons from Lincoln. We're about to wrap it up now. Look in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show his servants the things which must shortly come to pass, and which he has sent and signified and by his angel to his servant John. Verse 3, same chapter. Blessed is he that reads, that hears the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. When God made it known to John to understand where we were in time, just like I feel he has made it known to the church, the time of the day of the Lord, it is written, it is at hand. I believe we are at that time today for the beginning of the next verse. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be to you and peace from him which is, which was, which is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Verse 10. For he said, for I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice, as it were, a trumpet. Have you heard the trumpet during this virus? God told John, when this begins, the first place you go to, not to the world, it's to the church. God's telling his church, it's time to clean up your act. You got a problem? Straighten it out. You're not doing this right? Then go do it right. You got a sin in your church, your personality? Go before God, clean it out. In other words, cleanse yourself. Like with Joshua, he says, sanctify yourself to follow God. That's where we are today. Because you are one of the most important pieces of the framework. Because God says, if not for the elect's sake, no flesh would be saved. So God is counting on you and I that he has called. And he that began the good work in you, he will perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. And you need to remember that. And you need to know that some of us will go down. Some of us will be taken out. It's prophesied that there will come another martyrdom. But that's in God's plan. And for those who do, God will bless and protect those people. And they will be sealed to the time of Jesus Christ. Sure, it'd be a sad time, but in the ultimate end, it will bring and save lives. That's what this is all about. But for now, for this time, it is time to be prepared. Closing this out. This is where we'll pick up next week. The lessons from Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln understood this. He understood more than I ever imagined, I ever understood, because God gave us that crack in the door that he knew it was coming from Rome. So God gave him the peace, the strength, and the wisdom to understand he could only fix so much of the problem of the Civil War. He could not resolve the issue because that issue came from Rome. He could only put the nation back together. Just like with you and I, we cannot fix the issue. That has to come from Jesus Christ. But we have to do our part. And here we see in Ezekiel 22, verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, before the land. Now there's another verse that goes on after that. And whether God will fulfill that or not depends on us. I'll talk about that in part two on lessons from Lincoln. He says that I should not destroy it, but I found none. We come into a time when God's going to look for the leadership of this nation to step up and stand in the gap to bring this nation back to God, and God won't find it at that time. One of the most important lessons from Lincoln is that we need to stand today in the gap to prepare for the next Civil War. I'll talk about that in 2 weeks.